Well, today's focus is for us to really spend some time preparing to have this next year be the year we want it to be. Not necessarily focusing on the things we can't control, but that our focus, our attention would be where it needs to be. I've never been a big New Year's resolution guy, and part of it is it's never worked out for me. I was talking with somebody recently, and I have over the years a lot of people who say, I'm gonna start reading the Bible. And they start in Genesis, we've all been there, and Leviticus wears you down, right? And that's the end of the story. That's not a good place to start, by the way. And again, it was more lack of success, even failure, frustration, then a little bit of shame and embarrassment comes along that I had these great aspirations I didn't attain. What about you? Have you been successful? Or like me, do you ever remember what your New Year's resolutions were last year or the beginning of this year? Now this focus is one word that will change your life. It's really boiling it down to one word. What's one word that really will help you focus and become who you believe God wants you to become this year? It really is a focus on simplicity that will really help drive your passion and your purpose. The sermon title, you see, one word for 2026, a focus that changes everything. Now, this will be both an individual and a group journey. I haven't even talked to the elders yet, but I would love for us to come up with individual words, one word for each person for 1 year, and one word for Fawn Lake Church. What's the one thing God is speaking to us that will help us stay focused as a group over this next year? Again, it's beyond New Year's resolutions, which often focus on what do I want to get done this year? And it then becomes a to-do list, which often is pages long. And again, in my experience, often ends in frustration and failure. So here's the big idea. God wants to give you one word this year that will focus your heart, clarify your purpose, and draw you closer to Him. I can say this, I think, very safely, that is His will for you. That is His will for me. That He wants us to have a heart focused, a clarified purpose, and to be drawn closer to Him. And the blessing is, as the promise in Scripture, as we draw close to Him, what does it say? He draws close to us. Not like some maybe people in our lives in the past who have disappointed us. As we've drawn closer, they've backed away. What a blessing. The God of the universe, as we draw close to Him, He draws close to us. Here's a myth. New Year's resolutions make us better. If that were the case, we wouldn't have the statistics we have. In fact, the top five New Year's resolutions have not changed over the last 30 years. Here they are. I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. And in our society, where 70% of people are battling their weight, I'll put it nicely, it's understandable. Number two, I want to get out of debt. And we have over an average, spread across every man, woman, child, of over $9,000 in consumer debt alone. Again, it's a focus. I want to enjoy life more. When, again, I know that this is in our society, you know, the top prescriptions are for pain, for anxiety, for depression. And again, it's understandable that we're looking to enjoy life more. I want to spend more time with my friends and family. And yet, when I'm with my friends and family, I'm looking at a screen. You ever look at your phone so much you get a stiff neck? Don't admit that in church. And the key is not, well, you need to adjust your screen higher so you don't get a stiff neck. No. I have a buddy, he goes to a meal with his friends and they set their phones, they stack their phones face down in the center of the table, and the first guy to touch his phone pays the bill forever. We're gonna do that at church. It'll be a big bill. And of course, we want to break a bad habit. There certainly are some bad habits that we want to break, like texting and driving. Nobody at Fawn Lake Church would ever do that. Well, we start with good intentions, but we end back where we started. Here's the truth. 87% of us make New Year's resolutions. 50% fail within the first 30 days. And 90% fail, or even worse, we forget even what they were. Part of the challenge is we focus on too many things, and again, we treat life like a to-do list. Here's a scripture, Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What we want to do is to count our days and make our days count. Former Riverbend teacher, football coach Tony DeMarco used to say to the boys a lot, the days are long, but the years are short. And boy, as somebody who had been there, done that, him talking to the kids, I'm like, yeah, kids, that is the truth. We say, on some days, will this day ever end? And then we say about the years, boy, where did all the time go? And the older you get, doesn't time go faster? That's unfair. It should go slower. Abraham Lincoln said, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. And I think for us, one call I'm asking for us to make is to shift the focus from quantity to quality. And we can do that by paying attention to the things that matter the most. Here's one focus. If tomorrow wasn't promised, what would you do today? Now, here's what we have an opportunity to do, and that is to shift this. To shift and simplify. It should be a peaceful exercise for us. And another quote from Confucius, life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated. Paul in Philippians encouraged us to eliminate distractions when he said, I focus on this one thing. Maybe if Paul had a one word for that year, it would be finish. You know, when we did our vision exercise, I quoted from Alice in Wonderland, where Alice is talking to the Cheshire Cat, and she said, which road should I take? And the cat says, it depends on where you're going. She said, well, doesn't really much matter to me where I'm going. And the cat said, it doesn't matter which road you take. Sure, she said, well, surely I want to go somewhere. And the cat said, either of these roads will lead you somewhere. We're all going somewhere. Are we going there on purpose? That's the challenge for us. Another scripture from Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word perish can mean to run wild, to cast off restraint, to do your own thing, to waste time, to have no direction, and then end up being vulnerable and unprotected. But this idea of one word for 1 year, for one life, this is an opportunity for us to have clarity. And what we will see is, and this is from experience, you will get reminders on a regular basis where that word will show up, and it'll help you to, again, really lean in on this God word. A couple words for me in past years was to engage, focus, purpose. And again, it's not, I want to think of a good word versus, no, I want to be still and let God really impress upon a word for me that will be a God word. Here's why it works. Again, New Year's resolutions focus on what needs to get done, but the one word is about who you will become. And it'll act as a filter, a governor, a focus to really give mission and meaning to your life. It's becoming over doing, keeping it simple, focusing on what matters most. Now, here's the various areas of your life that, again, we gravitate towards complexity, and yet, as we narrow our focus, it brings more purpose and meaning. The spiritual, the physical, the mental, the emotional, relational, vocational, financial, and ultimately, transformation. And again, I would argue God's will for each one of us. You know, one verse that gets quoted a lot is Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, right? And well-meaning Christians say that at all the wrong times, like somebody grieving at a funeral. Well, you know, all things work. That's not appropriate timing to say that. And ultimately, it's very difficult to understand until you look at Romans 8:29, which was never meant to be divorced from verse 28. And here's why. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, because he then conforms us into the image of his son. Things that happen to me, good or bad, can have the purpose and serve God's purpose of transforming me into the likeness of Jesus. That's his ultimate will for us, is that we would be like Christ, not like Mike, anybody alive in the 80s, but like Christ. And honestly, if you go to a Christian bookstore and there's a whole section on God's will, I just boiled it down for you. Think of all the money I saved for the books you would have bought. That's what he wants for us to experience. I have found in relationships, family in particular, emotions are contagious. And I think that's why parents often fuss at kids. What I'm learning also is, even when your kids are no longer teenagers, they might have a tendency to still look at the dark side of things instead of the bright side of things. And you can get sucked into maybe that negativity or that pessimism. And, you know, having studied under Dr. Marty Seligman, part of his work in positive psychology was this idea of, we have a choice of a pessimistic or an optimistic explanatory style. when something happens. When something bad happens, people can personalize that and say, man, this is bad stuff always happens to me. It always will. So it becomes permanent, it becomes pervasive, it becomes personal. But it's really interesting to be around optimistic people. When something good happens to them, they do the same. They say, that's just like me, good stuff happens to me. And they make it pervasive. All the areas of my life, I feel God's hand of blessing in my life, and they make it permanent. This is the way I roll. It's always gonna be this way for me. I'm a positive person, whatever. And so we have that ability, but again, picking this word really can be that opportunity. So here is an image for you, I believe. And so this is a three-part process. We won't cover it all today, but the first is this. I wanna look in. So I'm looking in, up, and out. To look in is to prepare your heart and unplug, get to a quiet place. Look up, that's discover your word, and there you want to plug into your power source, and then look out to live your word, and that's to share it. So here's the first one, that we would look in. I think it was probably this older generation that really emphasized this saying of failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Abraham Lincoln said this, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. A blunt blade is an unfocused life. And so here's a step. The first one is unplug. And this is intentionally seeking solitude and silence. In a world of busyness, you know, we often mistake activity for achievement. And the result is often stress. But to escape, to unplug from noise, from clutter, from people for a short time, this is, you know, for you to do alone, to unplug from the pace, from distractions, you get to a quiet place. There's no phone, there's no computer, there's no to-do list. And then the next step is to ask. First, what do I need? What area of my life really needs changed the most? What do I need? Is it rest? Is it peace? Is it courage? Maybe the word is finish. For others, it's start. Maybe it's simplify. And then, what's in my way? What's the obstacle between where I am and where I want to be, or who God wants me to be? What are the obstacles to growth? Maybe it's a pattern of thinking. Maybe it's clutter or negativity. Complaining. Anybody here ever complain? Three of you. This is really a great percentage of positive people who never complain. That's why we're such a wonderful church. I battled with fear. And you know, it paralyzes you, and you get fearful in a decision, and you try to not make that decision, which is a decision. But that's gotten in the way for me in the past. And then, what needs to go? You know, for some of us, our past is holding us back. There's mistakes I've made. There's regrets that I have. There's unforgiveness. And ultimately, unforgiveness, as I hold on to it, turns into bitterness. Imagine, there's a graphic. Can you put that word graphic up there, Stan? One more, couple more. No, you go the other way. that the word collage should be up there. Let's see, there you go. But imagine, you know, a group of us with words like stand, overcome, peace, margin, forgive, finish, courage. There's power and potential for transformation for us in this. And imagine every single person really leaning into what God is having them focus on to kind of define their year. And then collectively, imagine us as a group, what God can do in us and through us to change our entire community. And change starts with me. So this is a bit of an unusual way to end the sermon and to give you homework, but to start your homework before you leave here. There are some people who are gonna do a handout right now for you. It looks like this. There are several words on there. You guys can hand those out. And circle 2 to 3, maybe 4 to 5 words, and then be prayerful as you go forward and narrow it down to one. Don't do it right now. You have plenty of time. And it doesn't have to be done by January 1st either. I have found this. It's 52 weeks in a year. Better to have 48 weeks in 2026 with a God word than 52 weeks with a good word that I just had to come up with by January 1st because it was a deadline. And so take your time. I'm going to give you a minute. Circle the ones that really jump out at you. And before you really get into that activity, I'm going to lead us in a prayer.